When I spent time with the Lord, I learned how to change the facts on the ground where I was. I learned from him how to change. And some things was more of a challenge than others. And I allowed God to help me in some areas more than others, just being honest. But the habits of my business, it took the longest for me to release over to God. It was a greater challenge for me. But I did it. I eventually did it. And I'm doing it. But loving people, that changed everything. When I dialogue with God and the Holy Spirit guides me, I learn things that I can't come up with on my own. You learn things that man just can't teach you. And all you have to do is use it and you automatically break through as you live. See, God made a way of escape. Let's look at it. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid." See, God never gave man fear. "I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." God didn't make him afraid. He became afraid when he broke out of the kingdom of God. And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I command thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord said unto the woman, "What is this thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." See, this is why they messed up. She was deceived. Adam was not. And when Adam made out the tree, their eyes were both open. Verse 14. This is why the Lord could be born through a virgin, because the woman was really deceived. He told Adam what to do. Adam told Eve. She had secondhand information, and she was beguiled. So the Lord knows how to heal his people. Satan didn't know what to watch out for. See, 2 Corinthians said, I think it was 1 Corinthians 2. Let's look at it before we go any further. I love this script. This is my next favorite scripture. Well, my favorite scripture against the enemy is this. 1 Corinthians. Here we go. 2. I love this. He said, here it is, verse 8. But let's look at verse 7. This is Paul talking. He said, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." I like that part. And then I like what he said in verse 9. "But as it is written, eyes not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." People that break through, it's going to be good for you. See, I love the enemy. He popped himself up so high. He said he's going to take over heaven, basically. In his 5-step plan to take over heaven. But he lost. He lost bad. Jesus, who went to the lowest part of the center of the earth, the lowest part of hell, is ascended above every realm, far above all principalities and power. I like this part, verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And everybody that believe on Jesus become the same as Jesus, covenant-wise. See, we have the same covenant rights that Jesus has. We just got to have the boldness and courage to use it. It just amazes me. We have the perfect power to break through whatever we want to break through. You can learn whatever you want. You don't have to know right now. You can determine, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn this." Just like Lucifer said, "I will ascend my throne." You can say, "I'm going to learn the knowledge of God. I'm going to do," and that's really what pisses him off. He hates it. because he said what he would do and couldn't do it. We say what we will do and can do it. We can tell him not to talk to us. We can tell him that he can't speak. That just pisses him off. And I use that word sometimes for the illustration purpose. It just, he can't do nothing about it. And guess what? Because we live, we're less than 100 years old, or I just say, because we're less than 125 years old, he's much older and should be more smarter. He can't stop us from breaking through. He can't stop us from living the life of God. And we have access to the Holy Spirit, which is much more smarter than he is. And the Lord will tell us what to say, and we'll say it in faith, and it stands. Oh, that just pisses him off. And I love it. He pissed me off. I piss him off. Now, preacher, you shouldn't talk like that. Yes, I should. Everybody should. I get him so mopped, so messed up. I told him I was going to do it. I said, I'm going to expose you for the liar that you are. And then I told him, I said, I'll never die by your hand. You make a statement of faith, it stands, and the Holy Spirit will help you. Verse 10, all right, verse 9. But it is written, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know things, the things that are freely given to us of God. And when we find out about it, when we get a hold of it, when we have the revelation of it, we can live it before the world. And you'll be just like that 24-year-old man or woman that broke through, finished college, started a career, and speaks intelligently far beyond their years. That's the power of any Christian if they receive the word of God. Some Christians just don't receive revelation, so they never break through. They just think they can't. It's not in their wheelhouse. But they had enough sense to believe on Jesus. But those that believed on Jesus and followed through to know the Lord, you can do all of these things. Just because you didn't do it the last 20 years, you can start today and do better. See, the faster you spend time with God, remember something, you're going to make millions of decisions. That's too big. In a year, you're going to make thousands of decisions that will affect your family. See, all the parents that's too busy to spend time with the Lord, and they're trying to raise their grandchildren because their children won't do it. I've seen that so many times, so many ways. If they would have taken time, I'm not trying to put people down, but I know this for a fact. People got to make their own choices, and I get that. But when they're very young, if you'll spend time with the Lord will show you how to train up your children the way that they should go. And the things that you'll learn from the Lord will help you prevent a lot of evil mistakes and help your children to make the best friends. And when they have friends, you live in a neighborhood, some of the friends are kind of, you know, that the people that they're around are wicked. The Lord will give you wisdom. He'll show you what to say to either get the wicked children saved, or this is also true. When people live the love of God, wicked people will disassociate with them. So if you love God and you share the love of God, people are going to make a choice. They're going to make that. They might make the Rebecca choice. They may make a Lot choice. They may make an Esau choice. They may make a Jacob choice. But see, people who, when they see the light, They're going to do something. And see, God always, he divides light from darkness. And he has a way. But you have to trust him first. Everybody that's too busy to spend time with the Lord, it always happens against them. It always happens. 100% of the time, they always fail. Things are not like they should be. And it looks to be out of hand. But if you start spending time with the Lord, he might be able to rectify it. If the will of the people are not too far gone. But people that never, see, when people live, when they're not, when Christian people don't spend time with the Lord as a way of life, there's a huge loss against them. They lose stuff. That's how it is. If you can be aware of this, you can regain things that were gone, that were stolen. And then those that died, that should motivate us to go forward and stop making the same choices so that God can save what's left of your family. And sometimes people live a messed up life and they do get saved and they go to heaven. You'll see them again. But their life was all messed up. But you're going to make choices that shape life and time. If you make the right choices, time is going to be good for you. If you make the terrible choices, time is going to be hard for you. You have to break through. That's the point. It's not about whether God loves you or not. And whether you love God or not, will you do what he said do or not? Will you receive his word and do it? He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. That's not happening for people who reject time with God. They get clues here and there when they go to church and give God their attention. So many people, see, that you can go to church and never give God your attention. You can memorize the Bible and not receive it. Both things can be true in the same person. You can study day and night and not receive the word of God and it can't help you. If you don't understand, that's fine. Receive the truth of the word and the Lord will help you understand. Look at verse 13 again. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now watch verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He's focused on what he knows. He's focused on this natural realm. And he is excluding God in his heart. So that's why the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is our template. If we study the mind of Christ and how Jesus did things and do what Jesus did, we'll have the results of Christ. From walking on water to raising the dead, it doesn't matter. Peter walked on water. So if Peter did it, you can do it. Jesus raised the dead. Peter raised the dead. Peter, you know, the lame man began to walk. Miracles happen in the course of the lives of God's people. You know, the viper, Paul shook a viper off in the fire. And then a man was healed of a bloody flux at the praying of Paul and the laying on of his hands. See, we handle the things of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. He helps us learn the ways of God. And see, back what I was saying, when you love God and you mean it, the Lord does something for us. When people don't give God the time of day, they may study, but they don't spend time with him and let him train them and receive what he's saying. Look at what God did. He don't want his people that want to be free from the world to be tangled up with people that love the world. So this is what God said in response to what they did. Verse 14, this is back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. So serpents used to be in the class of cattle. And above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, this is the animal. This is what happened to the animal serpent. And he was cursed. God said, and the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. So Satan lost his position. He's cursed above everything. And above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. When you see a serpent, he's living in a curse. He has to slide on his belly without limbs, just like Satan. He said, now watch verse 15. It's very important, because people don't know God as the divider that he is. He divides. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. And so did God. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. See, when people choose the way of the world, if you start living the life, I've seen this so many ways. When you seek after righteousness and pursue it, you love God, and you people are going to have a problem with you that love the world. Everybody that loves the world, there's going to be a disconnect, because God put enmity between you. Talking to the devil, and the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. See, when he's addressing the serpent, he's addressing both the spiritual devil and the natural animal that were confederate against man. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You got light and darkness. You got people of the darkness and people of light. And God is the one that put enmity there. So when you train your children in the way they should go, teach them to love people. And then when other children come around, you go out there and talk with them and get to know them and tell them about the Lord. That can help them. See, the ones that get saved will help the ones that's not. Or the ones that love the wickedness, they're not going to want to be around those that love God, for real. And sometimes the other children might get saved before your children do. And if your children love the world at that season, they're not going to want to be around those of light. And your children won't contaminate them with their darkness. Or if your children receive the light, or some of your children receive the light, and the rest don't, there's going to be a rift. A healthy rift. This happens by the wisdom of God. You don't have to make it happen. It happens on its own. Because God put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Jesus even said, your enemies will be those of your own house. So if that's true for your own house, some people love God, some people love the world. And enmity is there. God put it there. It's going to be there. Sometimes people married a person that loved the world, and they begin to love God. They're going to have a rift. People are going to take sides. This is why you have to break through. If you have a spouse that's seeking the Lord, and if you want that life, that godly life, you gotta yield to the Lord and break through the darkness that's holding you back. If you see your wife getting closer to God, men, do what she's doing. Learn what she's learning. Go to the Lord yourself. The Holy Spirit will talk to you just like he's helping her learn. And then the women that you want to go to the club still, and your man and your husband want to take you to church, go. Let that darkness go before it ruin your life. Because God is not playing. He's gonna move in the lives of those who really want him. And he's gonna, and people that have a problem with God, they will divide themselves away from the things of God. It always happens. This is why he put enmity between the woman, between thee and the woman, the serpent and the woman. When a man sees a snake, the first thing he want to do is stump that head. Just like Jesus did Satan. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. See, Jesus brought us back to balance. This is out of balance. This is a judgment. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. Whoever agrees with God, they're right, and they're trustworthy. So, women have a lot to say. I don't like the way that men did women in the Old Testament. But after Jesus came, a woman was the first to preach the gospel after Jesus rose from the dead. Not to forget the woman at the well in Samaria. She told everybody about Jesus. She was the first to preach the gospel before he died. Don't underestimate women, men. Just because this happened against them, that was a judgment, and sorrow they bear children, and their desire to the husband. Don't betray that trust. And in Christ, we've been made as he is, so are we. And all of God's children, boys, girls, men, women, are kings and priests. Even if you're a woman, you're still a king and a priest in Christ. Jesus restored things back to the first order of life. He brought men and women back to the zero line. But we have a function. And if you learn the function from the Holy Spirit, see, a wife is designed to be a help fit for her husband. And the husbands are designed by God to do God's will and be a blessing to his wife. See, if you try to undo that harmony, you're going to fall right back below the zero line into darkness. If you break through, you're going to come up to the promises of God's word and receive it and act on it. And that's going to cause your life, your light to shine. And you'll live far beyond your years, like God intended in the first place. See, man wasn't supposed to break out of the kingdom of God. He was supposed to build his life within it and rise above the zero line continually. You know, this is almost 6,000 years later since Adam did all that. So at this point, if Adam had continued to excel, he would have been at the 6,000 mark. See, as Christ is formed in us, we can do things that we normally couldn't do. And that's why we have to work, verse 17. But I'm going to skip all that. I want to show you something else. See, the judgment, you can study the judgment that happened against them. It makes a statement. It's true, it happened. But God gave us life. And a much more abundant way of life. And we just have to receive it. Let's see, is it 2 Corinthians 10? God gave us spiritual weapons to use to fight to break through. The weapons of our warfare, this is 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You can pull down the strongholds and you can stop the works of darkness at your will. You don't have to live below the zero line anymore. And we can cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, the Lord, when we rise to the occasion, when Christ is formed in us, and we see things as they are, you can do what Jesus said you can do. You're not limited anymore by the rudiments of this world. You can use good judgment calls. You can learn what you normally couldn't learn. And you can do the things that God gave us to do. You're not limited anymore. Adam broke out, but you can break through and go back to the things of God. You can go forward in Him. You can excel in Him. Christ can be formed in you. See, that's why John said, he that is born of God cannot sin. That's 1 John chapter 3. Let's look at it right quick. But what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every man that has this hope in Him purifies himself, even as He is pure. Who committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now watch this. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abides in Him lives in Him, sins not. Whosoever abides in Him sins not. Whosoever abideth in Him sins not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Verse 6. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. He broke out a long time ago, before Adam did. Then Adam broke out of the kingdom of God, like Lucifer did, but not as corrupt. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Now watch this part. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Sometimes people say, well, that's being born again. Being born again is like a baby. A baby has arms and legs. If you lay him on a blanket in the grass, and he's playing, if he's next to an ant bed, God forbid, he can't get up and run. He's born. Just like a man that's born again. He has all the rights and privileges of Jesus, but he don't know how to use it yet. But as Christ is formed in him, he becomes born of God, committed to God, and he won't commit sin. He won't choose to break out. How many people do you know, they learn of God, walk with God, treasure God, then leave God? John said they leave to prove that they were not of us. When people love the world, it's a leaven that consumes them, and they break out, and then they hide from God in their fig leaf dress. So when you break through, you continue to learn. Your life is being more and more fortified. You're growing in the things of God. Christ is formed in you, and that's very important. Being born of God is greater than being born again. It's a high graduation from being born again. So this is our hope. When you break through, you can do the great things in greater measure. See, breaking through is easy in Jesus. I want you to understand something about Jesus. Verse 13, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, till we come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That, my friend, is being born of God, not just being born again. Now let's go back and take a closer look at this. He said, this is verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, Jesus? He that descended is the same also that ascended up, far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth be from this time forward be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive the dark world, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's our destiny, and we got it from Jesus because we love him. And everybody is very important, as it goes on.